Baltimore's city council made a big decision earlier this year to put strict limits on the incinerator that burns most of the city's trash. Environmental activists convinced lawmakers that pollution from the plant was making people in poor neighborhoods sick. The new limits mean the operators of the incinerator will have to either upgrade the plant with pollution scrubbing technology or shut it down. But if it's shut down, what happens to all the trash? As part of our series, Going to Waste, Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd visited three piles of garbage in Baltimore, including the biggest one inside that incinerator building.
We use that for combustion air so that it doesn't go out of the building.
Wow, there's a massive crane. It's almost like at the arcade where you're playing that game and you take the crane and you try to pick up the toy. That's exactly what I'm looking at now, except this crane is picking up a massive, massive load of trash.
The crane bucket that they're using to pick up the trash is capable of picking up about 7 tons worth of material.
I'm on the glassed-in observation deck at Wheelabrator's Baltimore incinerator with health and safety manager Brad Keller. From downtown, the plant's smokestack is hard to miss, but it's the view from the inside that will take your breath away. We're looking out over a cavernous open pit where 2,200 tons of reeking garbage goes up in flames each day. A truckload of trash approximately is in one of these cranes coming up to this hole that's right in front of us, right?
Yeah, so what they're doing now is they're loading trash into the feed hopper. So
I think it's coming.
Yep.
Styrofoam, plastic bags, there's a fan, a mattress that we're looking at in this crane hovering right over this hole. And there it goes.
Yep.
Into the hopper.
Yep.
To be burned.
And at this point in our process, we become a power plant, basically creating renewable energy.
Steam from the inferno heats a couple hundred buildings downtown. Across the country, 75 waste-to-energy plants like this are in operation. If you live in a big city in the Northeast, that lunch bag you just threw into the bin will likely end up in one.
There's a huge amount of volume that's generated in the metro area that we say grace over and process every single day.
Mike Dougherty is market manager at Wheelabrator, which burns more than half of Baltimore's garbage.
Number one, we as a society generate a tremendous amount of waste. Period, end of story. The U.S. EPA has a waste hierarchy where they cite reduce, reuse, recycle, waste energy, landfilling. They have the data, and they've determined that is the best way in which to handle the waste stream.
Why?
I think, look, we all as a society want to reduce the amount of waste that gets put in a landfill. I think that's a great concept, but the road to zero waste will take decades. In the meantime, we still have to handle the waste in an environmentally responsible fashion.
The power from this plant is renewable because the supply of garbage is apparently endless. But the incinerator is far from green. It's Baltimore's number one industrial polluter, and the city's new law will require it to continuously monitor 20 pollutants and reduce the amount of nitrogen oxide and mercury it emits into the air. Rather than comply, Wheelabrator is suing. Dougherty and safety manager Brad Keller say it's the feds and the state that have the power to regulate.
When you look at where the emissions are, we are in full compliance with US EPA, with MDE. Those regulations are protective of the health and the environment, and that's what we do. We comply. We're a very compliant corporate citizen.
What's your message to people who actually would like to see you shut down and actually do think that the emissions are making people sick?
I would say, first of all, that we have 65 people here that take pride in this facility, work very hard to make sure that they're protecting the environment on a daily basis. You know, I wouldn't want to be subjecting myself to anything like that. So I have a trust in what we do here. All of our employees do as well.
Tomorrow we'll hear from the activists who say this plant is poisoning their neighborhood. But first, let's follow the ash from Wheelabrator's fire. Truckloads of it come here to a second heaping pile of trash.
You can see some of it right here. That gray material is the ash.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever get used to the smell? It probably follows
you
around.
What smell?
James Rohrbach runs Baltimore's Quarantine Road Landfill. He says the incinerator reduces the mass of all those mattresses, suitcases, and plastic bags by more than 90% before the remaining ash is dumped here. Like many locals, he still calls Wheelabrator by its old name, Bresco.
One important part for making this landfill last is the volume reduction of waste that goes on at Bresco.
Well, speaking of making your landfill last, how full is this landfill?
It's probably about 90% full from when it first opened. We have capacity till 2026.
So it's getting there.
It's certainly getting there, and the city is planning to expand the landfill because we will need landfill space beyond 2026, obviously.
How much pressure will this landfill feel if the incinerator shuts down, which is something people have been talking about now that this Clean Air Act has been passed by the city council?
Depending on what portion of the waste that goes to Bresco comes here, it's going to feel a considerable amount of pressure.
In other words, trash that would have burned has to go somewhere.
Our volume would increase by about 40 or 50%. So,
which means that deadline of 2026 would come much sooner.
More like 2024.
And there is another problem. A bigger pile of decaying trash would emit more methane, a powerful greenhouse gas, into the atmosphere. So there are no easy solutions. Baltimore is preparing a 30-year plan to rethink the way it deals with its garbage. But Rohrbach says a lot will have to change.
Bottom line is there's always something left over, and until we have a sea change in the way we consume and, you know, what we throw away, you're going to need a landfill.
Has this job changed the way that you consume?
It hasn't, because I want the convenience as much as anyone else, and there's only so much you can do, too. I mean, any food you buy has packaging waste. There's nothing that's totally returnable. There's recyclable materials, but not to a large extent, no.
So let's fade down the dump trucks and fade up the goose.
Yeah, this is the amazing Filbert Street Garden. Surrounded by crime and grime, we have this community-led and operated garden. It's been here for about 10 years.
Marvin Hayes believes part of the answer to Baltimore's trash problem is here at the Filbert Street Garden.
Not only do we have our winged fellows here, you see all our ducks and geese, but we provide habitats for bats. So we have a habitat for bats. So
for
in those
bats.
Houses.
Oh, up on this telephone pole.
Yeah, on the telephone pole. It's amazing to see them in the summertime leave out when dusk gets here.
You know what? This feels like an oasis.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I told you it's the Wakanda of South Baltimore. But instead of vibranium, we make Filbert Street leaf gold and we make Filbert Street chunk honey.
Filbert Street leaf gold. What's that you say? Well, it's compost, our third pile of what was Baltimore's trash, and this one is tiny by comparison.
Welcome to the home of the Baltimore Compost Collected. Trespassers will be compost because we have black gold on site. We have black leaf gold on site.
Hayes' operation is in one corner of the garden, tucked away past the beehives and the babbling duck pond. These are oddities in a Curtis Bay neighborhood that's better known for elevated rates of asthma and industrial pollution. And yet here we are with a steaming hot handful of compost.
And you take it and you sift. You can hear that sifting. All that good stuff is going into my hand, all that black gold.
To make it, Hayes and his team collect about 7 tons of food scraps each year from homes and commercial businesses.
And here is your product. It's your Filbert Street leaf gold.
That's going to grow you some lettuce.
Yeah, that's going to grow residents that don't have access to green space, give them an opportunity to grow their food that's living in a food desert. So it's so rewarding. It's a lot of work. It takes 4 months to process. But once you see the residents are able to grow their own food, and Miss Edith comes and say, Marvin, here's one of the tomatoes that I grew with some of this black gold. Without healthy soil and putting carbon back in, you won't have healthy fruits or vegetables.
I don't think it's a stretch to say that Baltimore is dealing with some trash problems right
yes.
now. Do you think this is part of the solution?
Yes, it is an alternative. The campaign that I'm pushing for Baltimore City is compost, learn so you don't have to burn. Let's start of the incinerators, feed the soil, feed the community. So 50% of Baltimore municipal trash can be composted. 30% of that can be recycled. So we're hoping we'll be the small-scale composting operation that will lead Baltimore to large-scale.
And with all due respect, this is small scale. I mean, this can't really solve the problem.
No, it can't.
What you're doing here.
But what it can do is be modeled throughout the city. So if I'm doing 1% and I'm doing 7 tons, if another community garden is diverting 7 tons, if we had 30 gardens, that's 30% of Baltimore City food scraps that are being processed, turned into black gold. Large-scale composting is how we're going to get out of this.
And it'll have to be. 7 tons of food scraps in a year is about the same as one truckload of garbage or a single deposit at Baltimore's incinerator, where 300 trucks line up every day to drop their payload into the fire. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd.